This evening, I don't really have a sermon in a kind of a formal sense, not really going to take a passage of scripture and go through it. This is more just a topical thing. These are just thoughts that I want to share. Again, in some ways, it kind of parallels what I did this morning, but to be an encouragement and to you. But this comes from the fact that, as you know, many of you know, I run in the mornings. I'm one of those crazy people who's out there in the pre-dawn darkness running around, and people say, why do you do that? And I tell everybody the same answer, so I can eat dessert. There's a pretty simple reason for it. But I'm out there running in the morning, and what I enjoy doing many mornings while I'm out there is I just pray while I run. And I kind of just go through things mentally and have sort of a prayer list that I go through. And as I was running one morning and I was praying for some folks on my prayer list, the Lord just seemed like the Spirit of God impressed on my heart to pray for these people for three specific things. And I thought, you know, those are great things to pray for. And so I kind of started mulling that idea around in my mind, and it went from just sort of a spur of the moment prayer request for some various people out there running around my neighborhood to thoughts to share with you all about three truths that are truths about God that I hope that you and I can kind of cling to these. And what I want to do is I want to look at three things about God. Number one, God is always close. And my prayer request for these people is that they would know that God is always right there. He's never far away. The second one, God always cares. That we would never forget that God always cares. Sometimes you hear people say, nobody loves me. That's not true. God always cares. And the third one is God is always capable. Doesn't matter what your problem is. Doesn't matter what your need is. God is always capable. And so really what I want to do tonight is I want to look at those three and I want to walk through the scripture and just give you some scripture that I hope will you can take with you and rely upon, because many times we're tempted and we're in battle, and our adversary, you know, he wants us to think you're all alone. He wants us to think nobody cares. He wants us to think that our fears and our problems are greater than our God. And sometimes what we have to do is, you know, to defeat the devil, we got to go to scripture. And so I hope that, you know, we can take these simple verses this evening and say, sometimes what we have to do is we have to talk to ourselves. Instead of listening to yourself, talk to yourself. Say, that's just not true. And here's a verse. So get that idea out of your head. So the first one. God is always close. If you have a Bible tonight, if you'll go with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at several verses here. Book of Psalms, go to the 34th Psalm. And I hope that maybe, you know, if you care to, you can make a list of some of these, but go back to them and just put your confidence in the Word of God, because that's where our confidence has to be, in Scripture. Psalm 34, if you would please look with me at verses 17 and 18. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite heart. Here you have God telling you a biblical truth. That God is near. God is near to them that are of a broken heart. You know, and often it's those times when we are of a broken heart that we wonder where God is. But the Bible says that when you are of a broken heart, God is near. He's right there. If you go just a few pages over, maybe a handful of pages or so, to the 119th Psalm, and look with me at the truth that's stated very clearly in the opening phrase of verse 151. Psalm 119, verse 151, the opening phrase, it says, "Thou art near, O Lord." You know, the reason that God can say to us, "You will find me if you search for me with all your heart," is he's not far away. He's right there. God is near. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 3 says that God compasseth my path and my lying down. God is acquainted with all my ways. He's right there. No matter where I am, no matter where I'm going, God is right there. God is always close. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Do you see what it says there in verse 18? The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. God is near. He's always close. Go over now with me, please, to Jeremiah 23. This was meant as a rebuke to some of the people of Israel, but it's a great truth. Jeremiah chapter 23, look with me at verse 23. God says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off?" That's really kind of just a rhetorical question. The answer is yes, I am right here. I am a God at hand. I am not a God afar off. Verse 24, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" God is always close. He is a God at hand. He is not afar off. You know, have there been times in your life, I know there have been times in mine, where we kind of find ourselves wondering, "God, where are you? Where are you?" And the answer is, I'm right here. God doesn't move. God doesn't change. He is always a God at hand. He's not a God afar off. The last one I want to look at in the New Testament, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17. And you may be able to find others, but these are just ones I wanted to share with you. Acts chapter 17 and verse 27. Acts 17, 27. This is the Apostle Paul preaching his famous sermon on Mars Hill. In that sermon, Paul says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. Notice what it says right here at the end of the verse. Though he be not far from every one of us. Though he be not far from every one of us. God is near. God is always close. And I know sometimes, like I said, sometimes we're just having struggles. It happens to all of us. We go through times of difficulty. We go through times of struggle and trial. And sometimes we want to cry out and say, "God, where are you?" We need to remember God's answer is, "I'm right here. I am always close." And sometimes we say, but why is it that it seems like God is so far away? Just remember, if it seems like God is far away, God is not the one who's moved. You know, I remember when I came to the university, I came from a public school background. God had done a great work in my life and had turned my life around and brought me to Bob Jones University. But I still had a lot of public school background in me. And I found myself struggling sometimes with some of the things I was hearing. And I remember sitting in class, and some of you, if you had any experience with Bob Jones University, you remember in the classrooms, they used to have these carved wooden things in the classrooms that were Dr. Bob Sr. sayings. Some of those really bugged me. But I remember sitting in a class and there was a saying up there and it said, "No doubt the problem is with you." You got to admit, that just kind of gets under your skin, doesn't it? No doubt the problem. But you know what I found? Every time there was a struggle in my life and I was just wrestling with God, You know what was true? No doubt the problem was with you. The problem was never with God. The problem was with me. And the reality is, when I'm in those times when it seems like somehow God is far away, God hasn't moved. The problem is with me. And I find myself coming back to Isaiah, where Isaiah said, God says, is my ear such that it cannot hear? Is my hand shortened that it cannot save? No, the problem is your sins have separated you from me. I'm right where I always have been. The problem is you. God is always close. You are never alone. Number two, God always cares. I have to start with this one. There are so many, many verses when you start talking about how much God loves us and how much he cares about it. I mean, we could be here all night going through those verses, but I have to start with this one just as a nod to my wife. Jeremiah chapter 31. God always cares. Jeremiah chapter 31. Would you look with me, please, at verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And the song is, loved with everlasting love. It's my wife's favorite song. So that's why I said I had to start there with Jeremiah 31:3. I remember when our son was born, she would rock him to sleep, and I would hear her singing, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And probably the greatest thrill of a grandparent's heart is one night we were over at our son's house, and he was putting his son to bed. And we were down in the living room, and he was upstairs in the bedroom, and we heard him singing to our grandson, loved with everlasting love. My wife lost it. I looked over at her and she was just falling apart. God always cares. We are loved with what kind of a love? An everlasting love. You know, like I said, I work with teenagers and it's challenging sometimes because they feel like I'm alone. You're never alone. God is always close, and they feel like nobody loves me. That's not true. God loves you, and he always loves you, and he always will love you. What greater statement could be made about God always cares than John 3:16? For God so loved the world. God loved in this way. Here's how he showed it. What more could God do to prove that he loves us? He gave his only begotten son. For what would it do for him? It would bring children into his kingdom. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his only begotten son so that we could be with him forever. Is that not showing us that he cares? He always cares. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8, these are such familiar verses. The Bible says that God commendeth his love. It starts out in the context that scarcely, verse 7, scarcely for a righteous man would somebody die, and peradventure for a good man, maybe somebody would dare to die. So if somebody's righteous or if somebody's good, somebody might be willing to die for that person. Somebody might do the Tale of Two Cities thing. It's a far, far better thing I do than I've ever done before. But no, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, we were his enemies. We were his adversaries. We were hostile to him. But in spite of that, he manifested his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God cares. He always cares. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It's talking about the fact that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were children of wrath. What happened in that terrible state we were in? We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, and we deserved God's wrath. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. God always cares. And then 1 John. John is called the beloved apostle. Probably none of the apostles grasped the truth of God's love greater than John. In chapter 3, he said, behold, what manner of love, what incredible love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that incredible love that God would make us his sons? And then over in chapter 4 and verse 9, he said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God always cares. He loves us. He will never stop loving us. He has proved his love in what he has done. And as I wrap up this topic, not only is it an amazing thing that God loves us, not only is it an amazing thing that he has manifested that love toward us in spite of our sinfulness, but Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and following, what can separate us from that love? Nothing. Nothing. There's a whole list. And at the end of the list, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us from that love. God always cares. No matter what you're going through, no matter how challenging the times, no matter the trials or troubles you're facing, remember, God is always close. He's right there. He never leaves you alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there, and he cares. And the last one, he's capable. No matter what you're going through, doesn't matter what you're facing, God is capable. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 18. You know the story. Here is Abraham, Sarah. He's 99. She's 89. God says, next year you're going to have children. Yeah, right. Sure, every 100-year-old man and 90-year-old woman have children. Sure they do. They laughed. They laughed. Consequently, God said, you know what? You're going to have a son, and you know what you're going to name him? Isaac, Yitzhak, which means he laughs. Because every time you call your son's name, you're going to remember, when I promised you this kid, you laughed. But Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, what was the question God asked of Abraham and Sarah? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So what? You're 99, she's 89. Do you think that's a problem for me? Is anything too hard for the Lord? What are you facing? What's going on in your life? You know, isn't it amazing? We know these things. We read these verses. We know these truths. But yet something comes into our lives, and what do? Oh no, what am I going to do? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is this problem really too big for your God? Is this problem too challenging for him? Of course not. Go over with me to the book of Job. Job's gone through a lot. No one has been asked to go through more than that man went through. I cannot imagine. You ever tried to put yourself in Job's sandals? Boy, can you imagine somebody coming and saying, hey, all your camels are gone. I'm alone. I escaped to tell you. Boom. All your flocks are gone. I'm alone. Escaped to tell you. Boom. You lost all of this. I alone am escaped. By the way, all your children just died too, and I'm alone. Can you imagine all that hitting you in one day? And then your wife coming up to you and saying, why don't you just curse God and die? Thanks, dear. I mean, nobody. And then covered with boils. And then your friends come to comfort you. And tell you, you know, if you weren't such a sinner, you probably wouldn't be going through this. That's comforting. But look what Job says at the end of the book, chapter 42, verse 1. Job answered the Lord and said, what? I know that you can do everything and that no thought can be withholden from you. God, I know that you can do whatever you want to do. I know that. You can do whatever you want to do. Job understood what the psalmist understood in Psalm 115, verse 3. The psalmist said, our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. God can do whatever he pleases to do. Job recognized that. Job said, God, you can do whatever you want to do. That's echoed again in Psalm 135, verse 6. It's pretty much echoes what is said here in Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Isaiah chapter 43, the chapter we were in this morning, later on in that chapter, God makes a very powerful statement. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 13. God says, yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. And look what God says here at the end of verse 13. I will work, and who shall prevent it? God says, if I choose to do something, who can stop me from doing it? And the answer is nobody. Nobody. God says, if I choose to work, nobody can stop it. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah answers the question that was asked back in Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, God asked the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, Jeremiah answers that question. He says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. See, in Genesis 18:14, God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? In Jeremiah 32:17, Jeremiah says, nope, there is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing too hard for you. I want to finish by going into the New Testament to Luke chapter 1. This has to do with the birth of Christ. Mary is asking how in the world she can have a child. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, God answers Mary because Mary says, hey, how is this going to work? This can't happen. What you're saying is going to happen is not possible. And what did God tell Mary? Luke chapter 1, verse 37, God said, you're going to have a child, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And then over in chapter 18 of Luke, I'll finish with this one. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. Jesus is talking about how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples said, boy, if that's true, who can be saved? And Jesus answered in verse 27 of Luke 18, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. That's one of those verses you need to kind of mark and remember where that is, because so many times we go through difficult times in life. We go through trials. We go through struggles. And the answer we get from people is, that's just not possible. And we need to remember the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. It's not impossible to God. My challenge for us all this evening is I hope that these three simple truths, like I said, it started out as a prayer request, that my prayer for these people, that they were on my heart in the morning I was praying for them. I was just praying, God, help them to know you're right there. And, you know, I like to play with alliteration, so I ended up with close and caring and capable. But God, help them to know you're always right there. You're close. Help them to know how much you care. Help them to cast their cares on you because they know you care for them. And help them to know how capable you are. So many times, you know, We carry these anxieties. We carry these griefs. We carry these burdens. God says, cast it on me. I'm quite capable of taking care of your problems, of your situations. I can do this. This is where we need to find our answers. It's amazing to me. I don't know if you've noticed, but you know the joke about there's an app for everything. There are now even mental health apps where you can connect with a mental health specialist who's going to help you. I don't want to downplay that. I mean, they may accomplish some good. But I'm telling you what, as God's people, we need to know this book. You know, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. But we have to know. It's here. Just like these truths tonight, God is always close. That's not just a catchy little saying that you can write on a post-it note. God is always, it's truth. It's right here. God said so. I'm close. God always cares. That's not just a little phrase. That's not just a motivational poster. It's right here. And God is always capable. He is. Isn't it amazing sometimes the greatest Bible truths we learn as kids? Right? God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. I learned that when I was a kid. Then I get to be an adult and I fret. Oh, God, I'm going through this tough time. Oh, God, what am I going to do? God can do anything. We learn all these great truths. And then we're reminded that we are flesh, and we quickly forget. God help us to remember, He's always close, He always cares, and He's always capable of meeting your need. Father, I pray that these truths would encourage us tonight. Our adversary just pounds on us mercilessly. Our own sin nature works on us relentlessly to convince us that we're alone, that nobody cares, that our problems are beyond fixing, and that's just not true. Father, help us to grab hold of the truth of your word and cling to it. There's that saying that says, let your faith be greater than your fears. Well, Father, for our faith to grow, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to be in your word. We need to know what your word says. We need to let your word grow our faith, that our faith would indeed be greater than our fears. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.